The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen. And he spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Father Chris said I might be winging it today because earlier this week he suggested to me that for part of my own Lenten observance, I give up preparing such long homilies. That just means this is going to be just as long but unprepared. Do you think we have a different Jesus in this story today? Different from the gentle teacher who said, "Let all the little children come to me." Or the one who said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Or the compassionate one who raised the dead son of the widow outside the town of Nain. It seems like John is giving us a picture of a Jesus who decided, "Okay, no more Mr. Nice Guy." But I want to offer you one simple thought today, and that is this. This Jesus, in fact and in action, is exactly the same as the more gentle portraits we have of him. Here's what I mean. The key is to look at what Jesus has as his objective in what he does. He is always acting so that the ones who seek to encounter God are freed from some oppression that is keeping them from being fully alive, fully able to understand that they are beloved of God. The little children, the widow, they're the lonely, the lowly, the unprotected of their culture. Yet they are sought out, directly sought out by Jesus to experience the mercy and gentleness of God. The soldiers who were ordered to put him to death, forgiven, even as they raise him up on the cross. Jesus overturns the tables of the merchants and the money changers for those who are seeking to reach into the divine, those who are on their way to the temple. He makes a weapon, a whip, and he uses it. This is the same Jesus in all of these stories. What he's doing is removing the obstacles that get in the way of people as they try to navigate their lives and seek to encounter, to experience the Holy One, their God. The merchants and the traders have become obstacles. They delay and they deceive the faithful on their journey toward encountering God. They have reduced the magnificent traditions of beautiful Jewish worship to a mere financial transaction. Now, I used to be in the advertising business, and I can almost visualize the banner that says, "Buy my bigger, faster doves, kill them, and God will like you better." Huh? This perverts the direct call that we have in both the Old and the New Testaments. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Jesus cleanses distractions, removes obstacles, and reminds the community of the real purpose of worship, which is simply to recognize and to acknowledge our status as beloved of God, and to give witness to that recognition by our daily conduct, not by an occasional gesture that's intended to result in some quid pro quo. The church gives us this Lenten season so that we can look at the ways that are sometimes subtle and sometimes glaring, that we buy into deceptions about what the spiritual life is really about, that we look to become aware of ways in which, as individuals or as communities, we fall victim to distractions on our way toward the Holy of Holies. This week, I want to invite you to ask yourself a couple of questions. What pulls me aside as I seek real friendship with Jesus? In what ways have I begun to act as though my faith journey is just a series of transactions to be negotiated, rather than an endless flow of God's grace that asks only to be accepted? If you find any of these things in your life, and if you look hard enough, if you're at all like me, you're going to find some. If you need help, ask those who live with you. Perhaps they will have some suggestions. When you find those, leave them at the foot of the altar, or leave them at our communal penance service. It's on the 21st of March. And by the way, Father Chris has assured me that there will be no whips involved in that one. It's about clearing a path in our lives, in prayer and in practice, so that we can have more constant, more direct access to the graces and consolations of our God. You see, we are the ones who are being sought out. We sometimes call ourselves seekers, but truly it is Jesus who constantly seeks out all those who are called to follow him. I know on one level we each made a choice today to be here, to participate in this great prayer of the Mass. But on a far deeper level, it is the living Christ who has chosen each one who is here and invited us. The more obstacles we allow to remain in the way, the longer it will take for us to respond to the grace of being chosen. The longer it will take for us to know the unimaginable joy that invitation brings.